Curtis Jackson is our guest today. There is an exhibit going on and all kinds of conversations throughout the community of Grand Rapids through the month of September. It's called We Are All Criminals, and we wanted to talk to someone who's very familiar with this idea and would kind of tell us his story. Curtis, thanks for coming in today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about when things started to happen in your life and you got familiar with the criminal justice system, I guess.
Okay. Well, it didn't start out, you know, like most people's story. I had the opportunity to go to college and play baseball for a few years. Kind of wanted to get away from my home. It wasn't, you know, the ideal living situation. You know, I grew up in a very addictive home, and my parents were, you know, lifetime addicts, and they still struggle with it to this day, and it wasn't where I wanted to raise my kids. So, you know, I made every attempt to get out of there. And like I said, I had the opportunity to go play college baseball at UWS. I had a couple of years there. And my first couple of years there, I developed an arm problem from pitching. I was a pitcher. And then I got rear-ended in Duluth. You know, I ended up with 4 cracked vertebrae in my neck. So I was prescribed pain pills, and that's where it all started for me, was I got addicted to pain pills, and one thing led to another, and before I knew it, you know, I was trapped in, you know, the world of addiction, you know, and everything that came with it, you know, stealing, committing crimes, going from doctor to doctor, you know, so everything that went with it, you know, I had seen my uncle go through it. And it was something that I didn't want to go through. You know, I remember when I was first introduced to it, you know, I said, no, I don't want to do that. That's what my uncle is addicted to. And a week later, you know, I was in so much pain. You know, I just ignored, you know, my gut feeling about, you know, trying it. So I went to them harder pills and, you know, I guess pretty much stealing and, you know, I became a IV user. And I got pulled over with my twin brother, and next thing you know, I was charged with fifth-degree possession, and pretty much the rest is history. And, you know, I went through 7 years of that, in and out of jail, you know, leaving my family, going to treatment. My kids have definitely suffered over the years. My oldest boy is 18. He just recently went to college, and he suffered more than my two youngest kids. He had to live with, you know, the reputation that his father was a criminal. You know, and it isn't easy, you know, growing up without your father and everybody, you know, labeling him as a offspring of a criminal. So I am very happy with my son, what he has accomplished in his life, you know, not coming up in the best situations, in the best living environment. But he's off in college right now. And me, I just recently got custody of my two youngest. It's been a long journey. My 18 months in recovery has definitely challenged me. I've had a lot of obstacles as far as having a felony on my record. When I was first introduced to wellness court program, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I wasn't, you know, didn't have any clue about what it was about. You know, I knew I was an addict, and I knew I needed to change, you know, and I remember sitting in front of the judge and asking him to give me an opportunity to save my life. And from that moment on, I've taken advantage of every opportunity that, you know, has been put in front of me. You know, I've had a lot of people along the way that have helped me. I've had a lot of people that have inspired me. So I'm just grateful to be here and to continue on with my story.
I want to ask you a question. So Your parents were addicts, and did your dad ever say to you, you know, don't do as I do, son? And then did you have the opportunity to talk to your son about that?
Honestly, I don't really recall my father ever having that conversation with me. Growing up in the home that I grew up in, it wasn't really a very, I don't want to say loving family, but we didn't really have much talks as far as, you know, we shouldn't be doing this or we shouldn't be doing that. You know, it was always like, they did this, and if we learned from it, that was on us. So, and I've had the opportunity to talk to my oldest boy about it. And, you know, I just told him, I was like, the path that I chose to live, you know, is my path. You know, everybody has their own path. And I said, I just really hope, you know, that you choose a different path. But if you do go down the same path I went, you know, I'm glad that I'm an option for him to be able to talk to if he does have them same struggles in life that I did.
How's your relationship with your boy?
It has really blossomed throughout the summer. We've had the opportunity to play a lot of softball this summer. I hadn't played in 7 years, you know, having problems with my addiction and problems with my knees, you know, so it was like a physical inability to play. But the more and more that I got into my recovery, you know, I took care of my body, you know, I started working out, you know, I really, you know, focused on a healthier lifestyle. So it has definitely helped as far as doing daily activities, you know, and weekly activities as far as golfing, softball, you know, being able to get on the floor and play with my youngest kids too. So all that has definitely helped me.
Is it a constant struggle, the recovery phase?
It is a daily struggle. I wake up every single morning, you know, and, you know, I have my routine that I stick to. You know, I sit there and I smudge and I pray, you know, and having that routine is something as simple as, you know, making sure that you shower every morning, you know, having breakfast, you know, having that routine has been definitely key to my recovery. Because if I didn't have that routine where I give the opportunity for my mind to start wandering and start thinking, yeah, then it's going to make my days a lot tougher.
Can you talk about wellness court? Because you described it, you know, we hear the word court and you kind of think it's just going to be a place where you wouldn't talk about getting your life back on track or be able to do the things that you've been able to do. What's it like? What actually happens there?
Well, as addicts and alcoholics, we have a tendency to complicate things. You know, people hear certain words, you know, they obviously want to shy away from it. You know, Wellness Court, you know, is a program that's, you go, there's four phases. You start off, you know, the first phase, you go to court every single Friday from 10 to noon. You also have other requirements, like you meet with your probation officer once a week. You have two meetings that you're required to go to, but obviously you can go to more. You have inpatient treatment, you have outpatient treatment, you know, whatever. It's different for everybody. You know, it's not just a set criteria for, you know, everybody.
When you say you have to go to court for 2 hours a week, what does that mean? You're just seeing other people?
We have about, I believe, anywhere from 32 to 40 participants, and we all go there every Friday. And it's basically just a check-in. We get to sit there. We each take our turns. You know, you go down the list from the order that you started wellness court. And you have the opportunity to sit in front of, sometimes it's two judges, sometimes it's one judge, sometimes you don't have a judge. But our probation, we have two probation officers that come there. We also have a wellness court team. They sit to the left of us, and they just basically get to listen to the struggles that we have during the week, the successes that we have during the week. So, you know, it turns out to be, you know, feel like you're like a family, so to speak, you know, because you get such admiration for the other participants. You know, I even appreciate my probation officer to this day, you know, and that's something I would have never said in the past.
We're talking to Curtis Jackson. You're listening to the Monday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio. All through the month of September, the topic of We Are All Criminals is throughout the city of Grand Rapids, whether it is the exhibit at the McCroskey Art Center or panel discussions. Curtis has been through the Wellness Court program in Itasca County. He's currently doing that. We asked him how he got involved.
Actually, I was sitting my time in county down in the annex, and one of the inmates was a good friend of mine, and he had recommended it to me. You know, he said, if you're really truly looking to save your life and change your life, he said, this wellness court is going to push you and it's going to challenge you. And that was something of what I was looking for. You know, I was tired of getting in and out of jail, you know, and following the same pattern of going back and relapsing and, you know, running from the law, you know, hiding. You know, that's not the way I wanted to live my life because, you know, let's be honest, you know, my kids need to be, you know, taken care of, you know, and hiding. I'm not going to be able to take very good care of my kids by hiding.
So what's it like to try to find a place to live?
That was my biggest challenge. Having a felony on my record, it closed a lot of doors, but a lot of people don't realize it also opens a lot of doors, you know, so it's kind of a catch-22, you know. It's the opportunity that I had this program through Virginia. It's Range Mental Health and Long-Term Homeless Program, and I've had the opportunity to work with a lady over there because I have a felony on my record and because I have a history of documented homelessness. So that opened a door for me, and we went from every apartment complex, every realtor, you know, everywhere in Grand Rapids, because I didn't want to go back to the Deer River Balkle area because that's where I'm from. And it was about a 9 or 10 month, you know, challenge, you know, because we went from, like I said, every single apartment complex. Finally, you know, I got the opportunity at the Pine Ridge. You know, they took a chance on me. And it was funny because at first they had denied my application. And the lady who looks at the applications was on vacation. And only thing she saw on my record was the top was a felony, you know, and the rest of it were just traffic violations. But she was on vacation, so she didn't really take the time to look at it. And she thought that they were all felonies. And when she come back from her vacation about a week and a half later, she re-looked at my application and she called me and said that she was going to approve my application. So, and it was nice because I had my caseworker went to bat for me. I've had numerous employees at the Hope House that went to bat for me. You know, I mean, they had seen the progress that I had, you know, made and the changes that I made in my life that, you know, they're willing to go to bat for me to tell this lady that, you know, I changed my life around. So, but she took a second look at it. You know, I'm grateful for that.
I guess. Wow.
That's Curtis Jackson. He's our guest today. Curtis, how about finding a job? What is that like?
Finding a job was another obstacle. It wasn't as bad as, you know, finding a place to live because, you know, I am very fortunate in this aspect because being raised on a reservation, you know, they have a tendency to overlook, you know, having a felony on your record. You know, it wasn't what I wanted to do at first was to go back to the reservation and work, but when it came down to it, you know, I needed a job. Where I'm at now, I'm really fortunate because the manager that I have, you know, is a recovering addict himself. So he works with me whenever I need to take days off, whenever I need to take my kids to my appointments. You know, he's given me a schedule that works with me and my kids' schedule because my kids are they're in daycare now, but they're going to be starting school here soon. And, you know, he's went as far as reaching out and he picks me up for a couple of days out of the week. You know, he takes his own time, gets up early, comes, gets us, brings us to daycare, you know. So along the way, I've had a lot of help, you know, a lot of help. You know, a lot of people don't realize when you're in recovery and doing, you know, the next best thing, you get a lot of help.
So the things we just don't even think about, I'm sure, like a driver's license or getting a vehicle are not easy.
Yeah. Like I said, I've had a lot of people help me along my way, and my baby sister has also been a huge help. She's going to be helping me with a car as soon as I get my license, and I recently just paid that off. So getting my driver's license is the next step, you know, and having transportation is also going to help, you know, maintain my recovery and get my kids from here and there, you know, so it's less stressful.
So I'd like to ask you about your injury and your pain, which was obviously the reason that you started taking all these narcotics. How is your body now, and how do you get by without taking narcotics? Or are you taking narcotics?
No, I'm not taking narcotics. To be honest with you, today I would rather live with the pain that I have rather than go through all that chaos that, you know, was brought into my life due to narcotics. I play softball. You know, I was playing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the pain that I have in my knee sometimes is unbearable. But, you know, I go home, I take Aleve, I take ibuprofen, I take Tylenol. You know, and sometimes we get that stuck in our head that we do need a narcotic to feel better. But, you know, the more and more that I remain clean and sober, you know, my mind clears up.
Yeah, man, you've been on the other side.
Yeah.
So how are your little kids? How are they doing?
My little kids are doing wonderful. It's been an adjustment period for us. They recently just came home about a month ago. It was a 3-year battle for my daughter, and it's been a year battle for my son, my youngest son. And the reason it's been so long for my daughter is because you have certain time limits when they're older, and you have less time when they're younger. So for my youngest boy, I only had a year. With my daughter, you know, I've had, you know, obviously more time. But they're adjusting well. It's kind of hard being a single father at this moment, but every day we wake up, you know, and we kind of tackle each obstacle together. They come to my softball games. They come to my golf tournaments. So it's been fun because my daughter absolutely loves watching me play softball, mm-hmm. You know, and it's nice to be able to be back on the field. They had the opportunity to connect with their oldest brother, so it just keeps getting better and better.
That's great. You said he's off at college?
Yeah, he's at NDSU.
Nice. Is he an athlete?
Yes, he played all three sports at Deerver. He played football, basketball, and baseball. So it was nice to be able to watch him his senior year. It took me that long to finally get back into his life, but I had the opportunity to watch him. He was crowned homecoming king last year.
That's great.
He played really well in basketball and football. So it was nice to be able to watch him, you know, be there for parents' night and then when he was crowned homecoming king. So
what's it like to wake up clean?
I can't even put it into words what it feels like. I mean, just knowing that I don't need a chemical in my body to function daily, I mean, that's feels so serene getting up every morning.
Anything else you'd want to tell us we might have missed to ask you? Or?
I got a few phrases that I like to, that I live by. And one of the biggest ones that has helped me, you know, if it doesn't challenge you, it won't change you. You know, and that's definitely what addiction has done for my life. Because I don't know where I'd be, and I don't even want to, you know, think about where I'd be in life. But I know this is the path that was set in place for me, and now I feel like I'm here to help inspire others. And, you know, given these opportunities to speak, you know, I go speak on the reservation, I speak throughout the community in Grand Rapids. Hopefully, you know, I can help save someone else's life, you know, but I had to start by saving mine first.
Are you proud of yourself?
Very proud of myself, but I also got to keep in my head that, you know, it's not done. You know, I'll never be cured. So it's a daily battle.
Can you do it?
I'm doing it right now.
We Are All Criminals is the September exhibit at McCroskey Art Center, along with many community discussions, panel discussions, as well as film showings. And we're also listening to the stories of the people who have been or are currently incarcerated. Give us your feedback. Email comments at kaxe.org to find out about the community events going on for We Are All Criminals. Go to mccroskeyartcenter.org. This is The Morning Show on Northern Community Radio.